हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hi. So now the continuation with the discussion between Kunti Devi and Karna. So Kunti Devi has revealed everything, how his son Karna is seeing all this, but at the same time as he can't give up his friendship with Duryodhana. Karna's words grow sharper. I cannot accept that you are my well-wisher. You did not show me mercy at the proper time and have come to me now only to fulfill your own needs. I cannot do as you suggest. If on the eve of battle I leave Duryodhana to join with the Pandavas, then who will not call me a coward? The Kauravas had granted all my desires. They have worshipped me. What kind of man would I be to leave them now? They depend upon me as men on the sea depend on their boat. Now I must show my gratitude to Dhritarashtra's son. So he's looking at simply the, you know, the benefit he's gained and all that, and the friendship, which is a very important element. But at the same time, as you have to see, is that is you have the aspect of what is ultimately correct. So Yudhishthir went with what was not necessarily so ideal. It didn't work out so great for them on the external platform. But we see is that it was glorified by everybody. So now Karna would become, you know, glorified in that way. But because of that relationship and his false ego, it's a very big ego. And so because of that, now then he can't actually move in that direction. Karna remembered his impulsive vow to Bhishma in the Kuru assembly. He felt guilty that he had abandoned Duryodhana even that much, right? Because he said he wouldn't fight as long as Bhishma is on the battlefield. So then he already feels he's abandoned Duryodhana. Now he could not fight until Bhishma was slain. It was prophesied that Shikhandi would kill Bhishma. Then Duryodhana would need Karna more than ever. There was no question of leaving him now. I cannot prove untrue to my lord now. I will not abandon him. Yet your appeal will not go in vain. With the exception of Arjuna, I will not kill any of your sons in battle, even if I overpower them. When I kill Arjuna, I will become famous for my prowess. Even if he kills me, I will still earn world renown. Thus you will always have five sons. O princess, either Arjuna or I will survive, but not both. With tears streaming down her face, Kunti stepped forward towards him and held out her arms. Despite himself, Karna felt his powerful arms reach out to envelop Kunti as if of their own accord. As mother and son stood embracing for the first time in their lives, Kunti sorrowfully said, O child, destiny is most powerful. What you say will surely happen. The Kurus will be destroyed, and I will lose either you or Arjuna, if not more of my sons. When it is time to hurl weapons, do not forget your promise. May you be blessed, and may all be well with you. I am leaving. Kunti stood back and looked at her firstborn son one last time. Then she hurried back towards the city. Karna climbed onto his chariot and sat there unmoving for some time. Kunti's words repeated themselves in his mind again and again. How different things might have been if she had kept him as her son. But destiny had decreed a different path for him. His fate now lie with Duryodhana and the Kauravas. There was no use lamenting for what might have been. Karna resolved not to reveal to anyone what had transpired between himself and Kunti. It would only confuse the issue and make his own vows impossible to follow. With a troubled heart, he set off towards the city. Because the others, they don't know he'll go on as he is, but you will see that he will be very careful. He himself will not kill, and he won't arrange to kill any of the brothers like that. But Arjuna, he has a bit of rivalry there. Before leaving, Krishna asked to speak privately with Karna. As he reached Hastinapura's southern gate at around noon, he saw Karna waiting for him. Krishna stopped and asked Karna to mount his chariot with him. He took Karna out of the city, speaking as they rode in the direction of Virat. Krishna considered Karna the most serious threat to the Pandavas in the coming war. Karna's charioteer drove his car behind him with Satyaki, who had dismounted from Krishna's chariot, to give him the privacy desired with Karna. Right? So then, you know, then Satyaki, then he had gone in Karna's chariot. Placing his hand on Karna's shoulder, Krishna said, "According to scripture, the child born of a mother before her marriage becomes her husband's son." Right? Because, you know, that's the point, is that who's born before marriage, it's not the father who gives the seed, it's who she's married to becomes his son. That's why it says, if it's just like if I take some plants and plant them in someone else's field, when they grow up and they give fruit, I can't claim it for my own. Who owns the field? The fruit belongs to them. You know, just like, let's say you have a tree, the tree is on one side of the fence, but it leans over the other and the fruit's on the other side. The fruit belongs where it is coming from, the land. Because you can say, the fruit's over my land, but the fruit didn't grow off your land. The fruit was nourished from your neighbor's land. So the whole point is who the wife is married to, that is his son. So this, nowadays there's so much fight over this and that and so many things like that. But no, it's who's married to the woman, that's then they become their son. Because they'll always be connected with her, but then the father is who she's connected with. "You were born before your mother's marriage, Karna, and are therefore Pandu's son. The Pandavas are on your father's side, and the Vrishnis on your mother's. You are related to both these races. O best of men, O hero, come with me and become the king. The Pandavas will worship you as their elder brother, as will I and all their followers. The wives and daughters of kings will anoint you with water from golden pots. At the proper time, Draupadi will approach you as a wife does her husband. Your five brothers will follow behind you, even as the gods follow Indra. I too shall follow you. Accompanied by the Andakas and Vrishnis, rule over this earth, O Karna. Let the bards and chanters sing your praises. Delight Kunti's heart and take your rightful place at the head of her sons." Karna looked into Krishna's smiling face. Surely he knew everything, as the sages said. But it was difficult to accept his advice. Because Kunti is mentioning that they'll be together and they'll worship, but he's pointing out, you will be the king. And that everybody of that, not only that, you'll also have myself, Balaram, the Vrishnis, the Andakas, and that whole side, because the moon dynasty always follows the sun. And then in this case, they've aligned themselves with the Pandavas, not with Duryodhana as part of the sun dynasty. And so it says, then you'll have all these, and then you'll be, you know, in such a wonderful position. You know, it won't even get that good with Duryodhana, because Duryodhana will sit on the throne. In this case, you'll be the one on the throne, like that. With Duryodhana, yes, he made him a king, and he's the king of Anga, right? But with this, he'd be the emperor, like that. With so many, you know, I mean, in other words, whoever is supporting the Pandavas will be supporting him. Karna shook his head. "Undoubtedly, your words are meant for my good, O Keshava. I now know that I am Pandu's son. Kunti has told me everything. But she abandoned me, and Adiratha and his wife raised me. They have loved me as parents and have always seen me as their son. So too I have seen them as my parents. They performed all the necessary rituals in my life. After adopting me, they later had more children, to whom I have become an elder brother. They even selected my wives, and I have conceived sons and daughters with those wives. I cannot break those relationships even to gain both heaven and earth, nor, O Madhava, shall I break them out of fear." Right, because he says he's not afraid this battle, like that. Karna felt righteous. Following Krishna's advice would mean transgressing proper behavior. He gazed ahead at the rolling countryside as he continued. "For 13 years I've enjoyed sovereignty only due to Duryodhana's favor. I owe him a lot. Depending on me, he has formed an enmity with the Pandavas. I have been chosen to face Arjuna in combat. If I back down now, then I will become infamous, O Keshava. I cannot let myself be labeled as a coward, nor can I prove myself disloyal to Duryodhana. If I were given the world to rule, I would immediately give it to Duryodhana. How could I live with the Pandavas after all he has done for me? Karna reflected on his feelings towards the Pandavas. He respected Yudhishthir, Bhima, and even the twins. His hatred for Arjuna owed its origins to the day he had been refused entry into Drona's school. When he came again to Hastinapur to compete in the exhibition, Drona had not recognized him as the boy he had turned away years earlier. He had told him then he only accepted royal princes in his school. Karna was a charioteer's son. Burning with shame, he had gone away, vowing vengeance. Defeating Drona's best student, Arjuna, would be the best way to exact that revenge. As soon as he had seen Arjuna in the arena, his heart had filled with envy. That envy had not waned. Soon it would explode in a fight to the death. There was no other course for him now. O Krishna, I do not hold much hope for our victory, but I shall not change sides now. I know Yudhishthir is virtuous and pure-minded. He will preside over the coming battle sacrifice, in which Duryodhana's sons will be the sacrificial animals. The Pandavas are pious men and deserve to rule the earth. The harsh words I spoke to them and their wife previously were only for Duryodhana's pleasure. Remembering them now, I am filled with remorse. Right? So he knows what's right and wrong, but he has this, you know, because of the way he's been treated, his pride is that. And so then he's feeling. So Duryodhana has no remorse for the words spoken, but Karna does, because he knows what's proper. Still, I will fight Arjuna, O Keshava. That is my duty as a moral man and a Kshatriya. It is likely that I will die. I do not see the Kauravas winning. This dispute will end when Arjuna kills me and Bhima kills Duryodhana. This battle will be so great that it will be remembered as long as the mountains stand. It cannot be stopped. Krishna laughed. Do you not then desire to rule the earth, O hero? Will you not peacefully accept the kingdom in the way I've indicated? Right? So peaceful means if he accepts like this, there's a good chance, like you say, there'll be no war, there'll be no battle. It'll just be peacefully there, all these persons will be maintained. So he's still talking about this enmity and that. So he's talking about a smaller picture. And so, yes, he's quoting different things and mentioning things that Shastra supports. But those have to be seen as context of bigger rules like that. Without doubt, the Pandavas' victory will soon follow. When you see the five brothers coming out for battle, know that the terrible Kali age is approaching. Many men will be destroyed. Go back to Hastinapur and tell Drona and Kripa to make ready. It will be the full moon in 7 days. Let the battle begin on that day. The kings under Duryodhana's leadership will soon meet an excellent death at the edge of weapons. Maybe because the Kshatriya is dying in battle and is you know, the appropriate way, and they go to the heavenly planets that way. Karna could not understand Krishna's purpose. Why was he asking him to defect now? He knew that ultimately it would make little difference to the outcome of the battle. Destiny had, it seemed, already determined everything. So then from here, then Krishna's pointing out with this, there'll be the battle, but, you know, he'll come out with the Pandavas and then he'll be the king. But in this other way is that Duryodhana will die, he'll die, none of them will be the king. All that would have been technically for naught, because he's saying, no, we have to do, you know, be the right thing. But that means all of Duryodhana's efforts, all his efforts, all the friendship, everything ended in nothing. Because neither of them the king. No one ends up as that. It will be the Pandavas. The difference will be is that will he be king, Karna, or Yudhishthir? You know, it's just who will be the older brother. Right? If Karna goes, then he'll be the older brother. But if he goes into battle with Duryodhana, he'll be killed, and then Yudhishthir will be the older brother. Karna looked at Krishna, who sat with his long black hair flowing in the wind. Why do you confound me, O Keshava? Why would you lead me to folly? You know everything. The destruction of the world is at hand, with Duryodhana, Shakuni, Dushasana, and myself as its root cause. It will be as you say and no other way. O Krishna, we have already seen the omens that portend Duryodhana's defeat. I even saw the Pandavas in a dream coming out of the fight successful. I saw Yudhishthira clad in white silks, swallowing the earth. He and his brothers ascended a palace of 1,000 pillars. You are also there, O Madhava, by Arjuna's side. On the other hand, the Kauravas and all their followers, wearing blood-colored robes, were going south towards Yamaraj's abode. I and countless other warriors will soon enter the Gandiva fire. I know that. I know it for certain. Krishna looked sadly towards Karna. This will surely come to pass, Karna, since you do not seem prepared to accept my advice. When destruction is at hand, my dear friend, wrong appears as right and remains in the heart. What more can I say? So that's the thing, is when destruction is there, what's right is wrong, wrong, like this. There's a saying that when it's time for the jackal to die, it starts running towards the village. Like, it stays out in the forest, it's safe, but it runs into the village. As soon as it goes in the villagers will kill it. But you know, the point is, it's time to die. So why would it do that? No, it's because it's time to die. Karna bowed his head slightly. If I somehow survive the battle, I will see you again, O Krishna. Otherwise, we will meet in heaven. It now seems to me that I will see you only there, O sinless one. Krishna had Daruka pull up his chariot. He embraced Karna, who then jumped down and mounted his own chariot. Krishna, joined again by Satyaki, urged on his charioteer and sped away. Karna headed sorrowfully back towards Hastinapur. Soon he would have to wage war against his own brothers and against Krishna, who was clearly his well-wisher, even if his vice was hard to follow. Thinking still of Kunti's words and his conversation with Krishna, Karna's mind felt heavy. It seemed he was not destined to enjoy happiness and prosperity in this life. Soon after Krishna left Hastinapur, Dhritarashtra decided to call one last council to discuss strategy. War was now unavoidable, but the blind king was anxious. Having seen Krishna's universal form, he was filled with apprehension. Surely no human could contend with such power. Perhaps there was still a possibility to make a last-minute agreement. The king looked at his counselors. I mean, technically, it should be he turned towards his counselors, but... O learned men, we have all heard Krishna's speech, and we have seen his superhuman power. The Lord of all the worlds will now ride into battle with the Pandavas, whom we have made our enemies. My son has insulted them. Now he has left us in anger. Surely we now face the greatest danger. Tell me what can be done to avert disaster. Bhishma shook his head. Right. How many times has he asked this question? How many times have they answered? And how many times has nothing changed? Bhishma shook his head. Our fate is sealed, O king. We have abused Keshava, who is worthy of even the god's worship. There is no more fortune for us. We will have to take up arms in a contest that will divest the earth of innumerable heroes. What need is there for further discussion? It only remains for us to make arrangements for the war. So his point is, why we discuss this? We just should talk about how we're going to war, you know, how make this war, and like that. And so then, you know, that's the point, you know. So we'll see then what is the discussion in that. Drona, it said here, Drona and Kripa agreed with Bhishma, and Duryodhana smiled, right? So now we'll see what the plan is. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.